Welcome back to episode 6 of season 4. This episode is going to take us to the end of the year 2019. This is the serious no sleep hard work stretch. Now, from October to December, I wasn't sleeping. I was worried. I would get up about 3 in the morning and I would come to work and I would work till 6, sometimes 7 at night, come home. I'd be up at 3 in the morning, go to work. Did this over a 3-month stretch. Now, I made a bad decision, and God taught me a real lesson through this. When my wife first came to work over here, we never really worked together. Now, we worked fine together. We lived together. We don't have a problem spending time together. We're good. We can spend 24 hours a day with each other, no problem. And that's the truth. 2 peas in a pod, I guess. We have no problem doing that. In fact, we miss each other when we're not around each other. As crazy as that sounds. But she got flustered one day and she had said, I don't know, she said she was overwhelmed or she didn't know if she could do this or something. And I didn't want her to think that she had made a mistake coming over here. So I do what I always do. I try to shield her from stuff. So I just took on everything that I could and just did what I do. So I kind of clammed up in a shell, kind of cocooned myself, and made sure that everything was fine on the outside. She didn't know any difference. And I just started trying to handle everything myself again. The whole reason for her coming over here was to help me so I didn't have to do everything myself. That was the whole point of her coming over here, was to help me. She's my helpmeet. That's what the Bible says. And that was the whole point. But my wife suffers with anxiety. Big time anxiety. Something happens, she goes worst case scenario first off. So I try to counteract that best I can. I'm the one who keeps her calm by reassuring her everything's going to be okay. This time was no different. But the truth of the matter is, we were starting to feel the crunch because we lost football. That was wrong the way that that was done to us. Had the man done it the right way, we would have had time to get another football sponsor. But we ended up losing a little bit over $7,000, which was part of our budget for the year. And then we lost a couple of programs to go with it and some giving, so we took a big hit. For the last quarter, we lost about $10,000 for the last quarter of our budget. Well, that put a big hurt on us. So we're about $10,000 short for the year. Well, that has to come from somewhere. And when you don't have it, well, guess what? You have to put it on your personal credit cards if you got it. And that just jacks it up even more. So I'm thinking, well, I need to be a good steward here, so I got this dove now. I'm not really playing the J200. It's just sitting there looking pretty. And it's worth $9,000. Now, I'm not going to be able to get that real quick for it because it would take a collector to buy it, and you'd have to go through, put it up in the auction and all that stuff. But maybe I can get about $6,000 for it. So I listed it on Craigslist. And sure enough, I had a bite on it. But before I get to that point, this October to December stretch, I wasn't sleeping. Because I was trying to cover everything and work everything, I was worried about the finances. So I'm waking up at 2 in the morning, coming to work. 3 in the morning, coming to work. And I'd work all day, sometimes 5, 6 o'clock at night like I always do, sometimes 7, come home, and I'm working. So I'm up at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 2, 3. I'm not sleeping. For 3 months straight, I'm not sleeping. And I'm working and doing this stuff. And in between that was the move of the studio. We moved the studio from the radio station. We moved it from the back room to the front room, to the building there in the previous episode that you heard. And in between all that, the internet goes down. It don't work. We got to get somebody in here. Man, I don't know what we're looking at. There's all kind of stuff going on. And when there's little things, and you're already going through and it becomes big things. And I'm trying to just be smooth and cool about it. And I'm trying. But man, it is something else. But I keep on going. And I ain't sleeping. But I said, you know what? I'm going to list this guitar. So I take pictures of it. Give the description of it. And within a couple of days, actually, I get an answer. And this guy asked about it. He asked some good questions, too, man. Is it, you know, is any work being done on it? Are you the original owner? You know, what's the serial number? Can I look it up? You know, I'm like, yeah, absolutely, look it up. He said, everything looks good. Would you take a little less for it? I'm like, no, I'm not going to take less for it. Can we do the transaction PayPal? And I'm like, if you do it friends and family. I said, because I don't want to take a loss of 25% on the guitar. I said, if you don't want to do it friends and family, that's fine. He said, okay, we'll do it that way. So he asked for my PayPal email, and I gave it to him. He says, the funds will be released to me as soon as I mail the guitar. Well, that didn't register with me. This was a PayPal scam, too. And look, the PayPal email he sent, it had the colors of the PayPal. I mean, it was legit looking. It was really good. And I didn't catch it. And I went and spent $160-some-odd to mail this guitar in the box and everything. I mailed it and I got an email showing that the funds will be released that Friday, but it wasn't. I waited Saturday and it wasn't. And when I was at church Sunday morning, it hit me. I'm like, uh-oh, wait a minute. So I left church and got my car and I called PayPal. And they said, we don't show anything pending for you. I said, wait a minute. And I gave them the number. I had a transaction number and everything. They said, no, sir. I said, we don't show that. We don't even have anything. She said, that's a scam. She said, PayPal would never do that. PayPal would release those funds immediately. We would never. I'd seen PayPal hold money before for an unverified address or something like that, just for a day or so. And I figured maybe that's what it was. She said, no, that's a scam. She said, we don't have anything like that. And we would never hold for goods and services. She said, we would never hold it like that between a party transaction like that. And my heart sunk into my stomach. And I knew I was without a guitar now. Because I just paid and shipped that thing to Pueblo, Colorado. And it is gone. I am sick to my stomach, folks. I don't know. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now I have to tell my wife. She was the one who bought the thing in the first place for me. So I'm like, I said, listen. I said, I gotta tell you something. I don't need you to fuss at me. I don't need you to get crazy on me. I don't need you to do anything because I've already beat myself up enough. I already know. And I told her. And I showed her what it was. And she said, how did you not see this was a scam? She said, this right here. And then she started pointing out stuff that I should have caught to recognize that this was a scam. I didn't see it. I didn't see any of it. She said, this right here, you should have. This would have told me that this wasn't. Look at the way this guy spelt this. Look at this. Look, you should have known something was up. And I'm like, well, it's making sense now, but it didn't make sense then. Well, you're looking at a guy who hadn't slept in 3 months, been trying to handle everything, trying to do all this stuff, and it bit me in the butt. So now I got to make a police report. It's the first thing. Well, the first thing before I do that, I call the police department in Pueblo, Colorado. And they say, well, we can't do anything for you. You need to make a police report with your police there. So, okay. So I make a police report here. Oh, this is during the Christmas time, folks. This is during Christmas holidays, 2019. Well, no, I make the police report and the policeman says, call, just call when you got it. We'll come pick it up. mobile call, he never come picked it up. I said, well, I'll just go bring it. I call the next day or so, nothing. I go by there, he's in a meeting. I'm like, man, I ain't getting nowhere with this. It's like, they're not worried about it. And I could tell he wasn't worried about it when he filled out the report. So I go by a couple of days, he's in a meeting, he don't call me back. So I'm like, screw this. So I call Pueblo, Colorado Police Department. They're ugly as can be. I said, I filed a police report. I said, well, what do you want us to do? We're not the lost and found. I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay. So I have a friend that I went to school with. She works in the DA's office here. I call. She's not there. But the assistant DA is there, who I've never met and who I don't know. Because everybody's on Christmas break. He just happens to be there and answers the phone. Rarely does he even answer the phone. And he says that. He said, I just came in to get some stuff, man. He said, I don't answer the phone. He said, I don't even know why I picked it up. And I told him who I was and what had happened. He says, man. He said, you know what? He said, I'm just going to be honest with you, Mr. Logan. He said, these things don't end up very well. He said, the chances of you getting that guitar back is about slim to none. He said, these cases don't ever work out to the good. He said, that thing is probably long gone. He said, I'm just going to let you know. He said, I tell you what, all I can do, and I had the case number. I did have the case number. Even though I didn't have the report, I did have the case number. He said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, all I can do is make a phone call for you. He said, I'll make a phone call for you. And I'll call Pueblo. And I'll see what I can find out if they have any information. And if they do, I'll call you back. But he said, I wouldn't hold my breath, man. He said, but that's all I can do for you. But he said, I will do that for you. The guy ended up being a Christian. And I was just very grateful for that. I said, you know what? I said, listen. I said, I know it's the holidays. And I said, you just came in to do something. I said, you know what? I said, I'm just grateful that you were just kind enough to talk to me. I said, because everybody I even talked to about this case is just either blown me off or been rude about it. So I said, whether you actually call when we get off the phone, whether you actually call or not, I said, I'm just grateful that you were kind enough to talk to me in a civil manner. So I said, thank you and Merry Christmas to you. And I meant that. I just pretty much wrote the guitar off thinking that it was done. But I was grateful that he called. I mean, that he talked to me. So I let it go. And I figured, okay. And all of a sudden, about 3 hours later, I get a phone call. He said, Mr. Logan. I said, yep. He said, I talked to a detective. And they have two high-end guitars there. One is a Gibson and one is a Taylor. And I said, don't get your hopes up here, he said, because I don't know. I just know that they have two high-end guitar there. One is a Gibson, one is a Taylor. He said, could you email me the information on yours? Do you have the serial number or receipt? And I said, yeah, listen. I said, I have the serial number. I have the receipt. I have pictures. I have everything. I said, I'm the original owner. I said, I have it all. I said, I'll email it to you. Give me the email. He said, okay. He said, email it to me. And he said, I'll email the detective. And if it matches, I'll call you back. I said, okay. And I did. And I knew. I knew right then and there. I knew it was mine. I was waiting on the call. 30 minutes later, I get the phone call. He says, Hunter, he said, you're not going to believe this. Are you sitting down? I said, yes, I am. And I was. I was in my chair. He said, man, they have your guitar. He said, I can't believe it. I said, I can. I said, it's the Lord. I said, it's God, man. He said, they have it. They really have it. It's there. It's your guitar. The detective needs to talk to you, verify a few things, and then we can get it to you. I said, praise the Lord. I said, man, thank you. Thank you so much. I said, I appreciate it so much. So sure enough, 10 minutes later, the detective calls from Pueblo. And I talked to him and I verified it and sent him everything he needed. I said, can I ask you, how did y'all end up with the guitar? He said, believe it or not, he said the girl had went in and tried, she was trying to sell the guitar for her boyfriend. And it was at a high-end guitar, or at a guitar shop. And the owner of it was suspicious. So he called us. He called the police. He was suspicious. That's how we found him. And we arrested him. It was a Ring. The high-end tailor belongs to a guy in Canada. So it was a Ring that they were doing. It was a racket that they had going on. And they were getting these high-end guitars and stuff like that. Inadvertently, we busted a guitar ring, a high-end guitar ring. But the guy at the shop, just something didn't feel right. And he called the police. And they arrested her. And that's how I got my Gibson J200 back. And when I got it back, I'm like, okay, this guitar has too much of a story behind it. I can't get rid of it now. I took it with me to Mine Eagle to play it on that songwriter round. But here's the lesson God showed me. Had I involved my wife to begin with on that decision, she would have seen and caught the abnormalities of the PayPal scam, and it never would have happened. God sent her to the radio station to help me. And he told me and showed me, you need to let her help you. You don't have to shoulder this on your own anymore, which I was used to doing, because remember, up to this point, it only had been me at the radio station doing everything inside of here. I didn't have to do it by myself anymore inside the radio station. I had her to help me. I just needed to let her help me. And that one statement, I just needed to let her adjust. This was brand new to her. She had been used to doing something else. So when we sat down and talked about it, and I told her that, and she said, baby, she said, that was just one day. She said, I was just overwhelmed at the moment. She said, I'm here. And since then, man, we have done everything together and knowing. We go through it together, make decisions together, and that's how it works. We pray together with God being the lead and leading. So it's a great lesson that God had taught me with the stolen J200. I want to tell you, too, though, I started sleeping after that. There was no more getting up at 2 in the morning and 1 in the morning and going to work all day. No, I started sleeping again and getting the right amount of sleep. And there was no more stolen guitars. It's a great lesson God taught me. Now that ends it for 2019. The next episode, we are starting 2020 and getting that much closer to catching up, man, to real time. Wow. Hey, I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to these podcasts. I hope you're enjoying them. Share them with some folks. Tell some folks about them. Listen to us on the morning show, hleradio.com. We have free apps. Check us out on choicesocial.us. You download that app. No algorithms. You follow whoever you want, whenever you want. Only see what you want. God bless you. Remember, do 28 and 2. I'll see you next time.